Today's Old Testament reading takes place in Proverbs chapter 8. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads she takes her stand, beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals she cries aloud. To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth, before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him, like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of men. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Acts chapter 2. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness in your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. The Jews answered him, are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, If anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, If anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. Some of you may be wondering what just happened there when a lot of people stood up and maybe some were slow to act and then remembered, oh, I know what's going on, I've seen this before. In case you didn't notice there in your hymnal, in the hymn, right in front of the fourth stanza we just sang, there's that little triangle, a symbol for the Trinity. And a lot of times in church history, when we sing a stanza, especially at the end of a hymn that talks about the Trinity, we stand up in honoring our triune God. What a fun random thing to be able to pull out and do today and surprise some of you. So if that was new to you, I'm sorry, but you played along nicely. Great job. As we talk about the Trinity, it is one of those wonderful things. We have a perfect, loving, amazing God, a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When we try to talk about God in this way, we think of our God and we think of all the things he's done. We just celebrated Pentecost, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit with the tongues of fire and the speaking in tongues and the spreading of the good news of what Jesus Christ had done for the whole world, to pay for sin and to defeat death itself. And we remember that all of this is God ordained and decided on by the Father. The Father who sent his Son to do this for us. The Father who Jesus says he does the will of. The same Father who we say if we've seen Jesus, we've seen the Father. And in some way, shape, or form, this Trinity, this Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, chooses to love and serve you and me. This God who is beyond all understanding, beyond all comprehension, chooses to love you so much so that Jesus would be sent to die for you and to rise for you as well, to give you a new life, and that the Holy Spirit would now be working 24/7, 365 to make sure that gift is delivered to you and to all those who need to hear it. Now, indeed, as Cindy just said for us in the Young Time lesson, this is a difficult thing to talk about, how we can have one God and yet three persons. And when she told me what she was thinking of saying, I said, that's perfect. That's great. What a wonderful way to try possibly to describe the Trinity. And you're welcome to do it as long as I can playfully call you a heretic afterwards. Great job. Great job. Thank you. To be fair, put yourself in the shoes of anyone who's trying to help us understand the Trinity with an object lesson. I love object lessons. I've done years and years of Young Time or children's messages, getting to explain this and then talking about it with youth and teenagers and then with adults. And let me tell you, The teenagers always ask the better questions. Sorry, adults, but it's okay. I think more often than not, we adults are worried to ask the questions. We're supposed to know this, right? One God and three persons? Yeah. Sounds good to me. I've got it. The funny thing is, as we try to understand this triune God, we know it's true. We read about it in Scripture. Jesus tells us. We know that there is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and that they are one God. So we know that, but how do we really understand it? How do we really experience what this looks like for us? I love this painting here by Andrei Rublev, the Trinity. You got these three identical looking persons there around one table, around one cup. And yet they have different colors, and this is a fun thing with church imagery. You're looking at what these different colors represent throughout history. And you've got the white, the holiness of the Father, the red of Jesus' blood spilled, and the green, which we now have adorning us as we enter the Pentecost season here, of the Holy Spirit, bringing new life and new growth to the world, bringing the gift of Jesus Christ so that others might receive it and have new life. That new life is even represented in this tree that previously, during Lent, had nothing on it. And then it's had these beautiful bright colors and flowers for Easter. And now we've moved to these green leaves. And you'll also notice our hidden Easter eggs. I guess they're less hidden now that I've pointed them out. It's always fun to look at what's looking over my shoulder when I'm sitting up here. Today we have a butterfly and a little bird. It's great. all these fun things to see in our church. All these great seasonal remembrances, all of these wonderful gifts, including beautiful artwork, to help us try to understand our one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who loves us. We know it's true. We experience His love because He continues to give it through His Holy Spirit, but it's hard to understand. In our gospel reading from John 8, we have people attempting to understand what Jesus is saying. Now, granted, they're trying to catch him in something that they might kill him. And as they're going back and forth, the prophets, they're talking about prophets and Abraham. And they say, "Are you greater than our father Abraham who died and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Verse 54, Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God, but you have not known him. I know him." These people, these leaders in the church, are supposed to know God. They're supposed to be the ones who are bringing people to him, who bring sacrifices to him every day. They're doing all the right steps, allegedly, to follow God. And yet Jesus says, "I know him and you don't." This continues further. Verse 57, the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" And Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And that statement carries a lot more weight than it does just here in English. You might remember God of the Old in the Old Testament in the burning bush and tells Moses, "Go and tell the people, I am as my name." This is the God who's always been, always was, and always will be. I am. And so when Jesus says, "Yes, I know Abraham. Yes, he's been looking forward to me because I am." Jesus has been there from the beginning. He is here now, and his Holy Spirit continues to work. That's a pretty good imagery. It's a pretty good way of talking about it. Not a great physical, tangible thing to show, like a dad or an apple or water and ice and vapor. In case you don't know, these are all fun analogies to talk about the Trinity. It's very exciting. All great, beautiful images that are all also great heresies. The difficulty comes in saying, how do you describe this thing that we know is true in an earthly way? We just can't do it. There's just no way. There's nothing that we have to perfectly show what the Trinity is like, because it's the only thing like it. Our God is the only thing like himself. There before all of creation, perfect holiness and unity, without sin, without fault, perfectly faithful to you and to me, we who are unfaithful to him. No real good way to describe that. In fact, I can send you to YouTube later. There's a great opportunity. You can type in St. Patrick Lutheran Satire. Great video on it. It's wonderful. I show it here for you, but my turn to talk, not YouTube's. There is something, though, that we do have. You have a little insert in your bulletin, unless it's fallen out on your way in as you're grabbing your bacon. Happy Father's Day. We have the Athanasian Creed printed out for you. In fact, in a lot of churches today on Trinity Sunday, we would say the Athanasian Creed together. I'm not making you do that today. You're welcome. Rather, I'm giving you homework. You get to study this throughout the summer. Have a great time. Yay. Have a good time looking over this. This is really the church's best attempt at describing the Trinity for us, trying to understand in words who this triune God is. In the third paragraph there, it's real small print, I apologize, might have to get your magnifying glasses. The Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in three persons, and three persons in one God, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. There you go, perfect, clear as mud. Now I understand it, we're good. This is the best way we can try to, with words, understand our triune God. And as you read through all of it, you can digest it and work on it and mull it over. Certainly, many people have for hundreds of years. What a great gift it is to have our church that has gone before us working on these hard and difficult things to describe. There have been many people who've tried to understand how the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit all work together. Maybe it's a hierarchy, maybe one made the others before the others, maybe Jesus isn't really fully God. No, we're not going there either. There's so many ways to fall off the boat on this, trying to understand and talk about how this one God is three persons. I would recommend that you spend some time looking at this Athanasian Creed. It's pretty special. Also, as we consider who this triune God is, it is hard to understand with our minds because, again, there's nothing else like him. But we can think about how we experience and feel the work of God in our lives, how we've seen the work of God throughout all of history. We have one God, the Father, who continues to be in charge of all things, who sustains all things, is the giver of all good and perfect gifts. God the Father, whose will it is that we, sinners, would be made holy, made the way we were supposed to be made in the first place, so that we could join him in heaven at the end of this earthly life. We also have the Son, Jesus Christ, who, being God, yet became man also, not giving up godliness, not saying, I'll take a pay cut and be half God and half man, saying, I who am God will also take on the form of man. I will take on the life of these people who we love so that he might live a perfect life in our place, that he might give that perfectly lived life to you, so that when you would go to heaven, it's not because of the life you've lived, but rather the life that he lived in your place. And then the Holy Spirit, who continues to work on our hearts that would be hard and would not want to give in to God's love, would want to lead us away. The Holy Spirit continues to work on us, to call to us in our hearts and our minds, to be that voice on our shoulder that says, you know this is wrong. you know there's something better. To be the one that reminds you, you are loved. You are God's child. You have a family that is greater than any family you could ever know here on earth. You have a Father in heaven who is greater than any other earthly father. Happy Father's Day. As a personal note on this, there was a time when I was around fifth grade, sixth grade, and we were attending a church down in Southern California that I was going to because my mom was being a good and faithful parent and dragging me to church, and I was unhappy. My grandfather had just died, and he was really filling a place in my heart as his father figure. And when he had died, I was just angry at God. Why would this happen? Why would you take this wonderful man from me? And then the pastor was preaching on the Lord's Prayer that day. He started with, "Our Father, who art in heaven." And he really fleshed that out and explained that we do have this heavenly Father who cares so much to have given us a beautiful world, a beautiful life, and continues to take care of us daily, greater than any earthly man could. And that day, my anger kind of went away. I felt a great joy and a great peace. To this day, I absolutely love the Lord's Prayer, and I'm happy that we use it here every Sunday. What a wonderful blessing it is to know that we have a Father who loves us enough to send his Son, Jesus, that we would have all that we need in this life and through all of eternity after this. A Father who loves you, a Son who has made you his brother and sister, brought you into the family, and a Holy Spirit that daily reminds us of this great blessing, so we would not be led into despair or confusion or frustration, but that we might be able to be called back to God, to know that we are loved, to know that the one God in three persons who is ununderstandable, who could not possibly be matched by any other analogy, symbol, or individual, that God loves us. He has made us. He continues to care for us. And he wants to be with you forever. In this life, in your hearts and your minds, and through his word and through his church, through his great blessings of baptism and communion, he is with you. But he wants to bring you to heaven with him. So it could be like the garden, where we would walk together with him. That will be amazing. I don't know what that's going to be like either. Another thing that we can't fully describe and we can't fully understand. God continues to amaze us. He continues to make it not very easy to fully be able to give a picture, an analogy of who he is. But man, do we know his love for us. On this Trinity Sunday, as we try to grapple with what three persons and one God looks like, know this. This triune God who is hard to know and understand fully, who we take all of this information we have from his word, this one God loves you. He has created all things. He continues to be in charge of all things. And he will be in charge of all things until this life is over, not just for you, but for all of creation. Until we experience a new creation, a new heaven and a new earth with him forever. Then we will see him face to face. Then we may understand at least a little more fully. But for now, we know and we experience his love for us. We believe in the great I Am, the God who was, who is, and will be forever. In his name, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Now may God bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.